Welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. Y'all know the drill. I'm gonna get this music. I try to get it before everybody get in, but it don't be working out.
Yep.
T Street.
Going on.
Ain't nothing much, man. Get this music going. There we go. Wait for the crew to get in the building.
Indeed, indeed. RSVP.
Oh yeah, she told me. I gotta send you the waiver too.
Alright.
I forgot. I got even when we get off, I'm gonna text it to you.
That's a bet.
What up, fellas?
It's good.
Yeah,
chilling.
What up?
Nice and what's up, Donnie?
What's up, Donnie? That's Interesting Podcast. What's up, bro? What's good with
hey?
What's good?
Wayne on Trey. He love paying that money, man.
He must do. He got that guap.
Cause this time he really gonna get fine. I ain't forced the last one. What's
don't
up, Reed Dog?
Man, bro, I'm chilling, man. You know.
Hey Slim, wasn't that food good as shit.
Hey, dog, let me tell you this. I went home. I went to bed. Because, look, after y'all left, me and Trey stayed. We had shots.
Oh, y'all stayed?
Yeah.
Man, I had drank. Man, they was pouring up all that champagne. I came, went home, took a nap. I don't never take a nap.
Hey, fam, I came home. I was twisted the whole day. I called Trey. Trey sounded like he was in a bed face down in a pillow.
Because I was done off the, bro, they was pouring that champagne up, you know?
Good time. It was a good time.
Hell
man.
Yeah.
Hey, look.
It was good. Hey, I told Trey, he lucky that we fucked with him because that was really expensive, man. Praise the Lord. God damn. So you got some good friends. If I see that show, I'm like, God damn. What the fuck going on?
Hey, that's why people, you had to be married to come because you got to be able to afford that shit. The wife got to pay $100 and the husband got to pay $100.
It was a good time.
That shit was dope, man. How y'all been, man? Like, I ain't talked to y'all a long time, man.
Yeah, you be missing the action. Don't worry about it, though. You're going to pay that
$50. Hey, look. I knew I had to pop. So one of the mothers was like, you mind taking my son home at the practice? I'm like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I got you. Trying to take my man home. Yeah. I couldn't.
Rick, that's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
Rick, that sound like me.
That's definitely Coach T. That's Coach T. Coach T, like, I don't know what to tell you. Your ass play call a Uber or something. Yeah, you fucked up.
Well, welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. This is episode 77.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of this episode is When Lines Get Crossed. I'm your host. I go by E1. We got T Streets in the building. We got Reek in the building. We got Donya in the building. And we got the one and only Trey Philando, who just celebrated
that's
a birthday.
That's
what's up.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. We should have had DTA stepping ahead to defend his man, if he not scared.
Okay. He's going to be in the building. Well, that's exactly. That's a Drake fan. That's cool.
Thank you, dope. Appreciate you, dope.
He could be very condescending. That's
nah, I'm just a Drake fan. I like Drake too. So I like Drake
with the melodies.
I'll start off with sports. Y'all know right now what we got going on in the NBA playoffs.
We can skip sports. I forgot the Nuggets.
Oh man, they put the clamps. Hold on,
yeah, we got Nuggets got the clamps.
Gotta talk about it.
T-Nuggets.
So hey, Minnesota.
Nah, man. Nah.
Minnesota up 2-0 against Denver. Now, 2-0 doesn't mean it's over. It is going to be tough because Minnesota won those two games in Denver. Tomorrow night will be in Minnesota. Man, the way they playing defense, man, I don't know, man. It looks scary. I don't know if it was a fluke or what, but
they whooping their ass.
It looked crazy. Now OKC is up 1-0 versus Dallas. I think that's gonna go. That could go seven.
Luka got to step it up. If Luka don't step it up, it's over.
Yeah, maybe he a little hurt or something.
Yeah.
On the East, we got Boston is up 2-0.
It's 1-0.
No, I'm sorry. 1-0. Okay. Boston is up 1-0 versus Cleveland. They beat them by like 20. I don't know how much they of a series right that going to be. And then the Knicks with a hurt Jalen Brunson. And what's his name? Anobly. He hurt too. They up versus Indiana. Indiana shouldn't have lost that game. They up 2-0.
2-0.
And so that's what we got with the scores. Now, to keep it on sports, it's something very interesting that happened. And we were talking about Minnesota and Denver. So Minnesota and Denver played the second game. Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is the center for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he missed the game. So it says this article says SB Nation says Rudy Gobert missed NBA playoffs game for his child's birth 9 months after joking he lost his virginity. Says Rudy Gobert missed game two of the Wolves series against this like somebody in a typewriter or leaning back in a chair or something. Says Rudy Gobert missed game two of the Wolves series against the Nuggets to be there for the birth of his child. But it's the interesting timing of the birth that has people a little curious on Tuesday morning. That's because 9 months ago, almost to the day, he hit his first three-pointer and had a curious quote about it. Everyone was all over his back. Pause in August 2022 after some game in France. Now, this article is about something else. But what I wanted to say is that Rudy Gobert missed the game because of his child's birth. This is a playoff game. And so Cameron on the podcast, It Is What It Is, was, you know, felt like, damn, dog, you can, you know, once your child is born, you pose it. Okay, you there for, but they're saying that he had time for that to happen and for him to make the game, and he didn't make the game. And also, Gilbert Arenas said the same thing. So a lot of comments, people are saying that's fucked up. Anybody who think that he should have missed his child's birth, that's just showing that you a deadbeat father. what do y'all think about, I'm going to ask T-Streets first, what do you think about him missing the game because of his child's birth?
I understand it. I understand it. It's a personal choice. I'll say that it's a personal choice. A lot of people will say, you're in the playoffs, you're fighting for a championship, you need to make the game. Mm-hmm. But it's a personal choice. I'm not mad at it either way. Vince Carter got a lot of flack for graduating. For walking, having his diploma, walking across stage.
Oh my God.
In the playoffs years back.
And that was what, T? That was like game five or game six?
Yeah, something like that.
He was going at it with AI. This nigga gonna go graduate, nigga. Graduate fucking later.
Yeah, fuck ass over there, this fucking fuck court, your education, nigga. Joe. Fuck
nigga, you a fucking millionaire. You need no motherfucking education.
Now, so look, I'm gonna be honest. When they first said that he was missing the game because of that, I was like, "What the fuck? You in the playoffs? You only get this one opportunity." It just sounded odd to me at first, and so I was just so. But I thought about it, and it is personal choice. Put it like this: for the people saying that if he missed it, that because. What they were saying was the child was born in the morning and that he could have still got on a flight and made it to the game, but he wanted to be with his wife and stuff like that.
Like T said,
it's a personal choice, but I can also understand the part of, you know, seeing the child's birth and then getting on the plane and then coming to play in the playoff game.
Yeah,
either way.
What'd you say, Donnie?
I feel like, you know, I guess from a female's perspective, if my husband would have left me and I had literally just had my baby, I think that would have, you know, played an intricate part in our relationship, you know, because that means you putting your career before your family. and that shouldn't be the case. You know, yeah, I feel like but he did career, the right thing.
His career is money.
His career may make the money, but he made a personal choice to have a family, so he made a personal decision to be there and be show up for his family. Is your family always supposed to come first?
It rarely do.
Ironically, the top golfer, I don't know if you know the guy's name, T, like 3 weeks
ago. Tiger Woods?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a white guy. Sorry for not pulling the name up, right? The same exact thing happened, right? The same exact thing. So he went to go. He played. He actually.
Well, a lot of people do. People have people that pass away, and they'll play, you know, so. Yes. It's all a personal preference.
I could get somebody passing away, but this is a whole
It's a personal preference. So if the baby was born in the morning, I'm going to the goddamn game.
Me too, exactly. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I'm saying? Like,
y'all going to the game.
Straight up and down.
I'm going to the game.
Straight up and down.
You know what I'm saying?
Look, because if we would have lost,
you know what type of experience that man had during the time his wife was in labor and all of that other stuff. Y'all got to take that into consideration. He probably just wasn't up to it.
Hey, look. What if Anthony Edwards? Hey, look, what if Anthony Edwards say, hey, dog, go be with your family. I got this. I'm going to pull out this W for you. Go ahead, fam. Go. Dog, I'm going to go because I got trust in Anthony Edwards. He's going to pull out
Hey, listen, that's enough of that Anthony Edwards talk. Let's stop talking about them. Let's stop talking about them. You know what? They didn't cross the line. They didn't cross the line. They got my Denver Nuggets down 2-0. Denver, y'all better step up or I'm switching teams. Get on my mate shit and switch teams.
They about to get swept, bro.
Hey, do y'all think that Jamal Murray punk ass should have got suspended for this motherfucker threw a towel and an ice pack at the ref.
Hell
and
yeah.
Landed on a court and they only fined him $100,000.
$100,000 for throwing the towel and the ice
and
pack.
You threw two items hey, look, at me, bro.
What's my man that threw the basketball at the woman's face?
What's the dude?
Patrick Beverly.
Patrick Beverly.
He got suspended 4 games. Yeah, my man Jamal Murray should at least get suspended 1 game.
So let me ask y'all this: do y'all think that if it was Jordan and Kobe was in the same situation that Rudy Gobert was in, what do you think they would have done?
They playing.
not even thinking about playing. Oh, you having a baby? Oh, that's all? Okay, yeah, I'll be back.
They might not even make it down to the
birth. They going to the go straight to the next game, right? See? They're going to see the baby like 3 days later.
Hey, look, fam, that's why his kids ain't got no honor right now. His
that's fucked up.
He won damn week. He won damn week.
That's what it is,
Rick, bro. That's fucked up, Rick.
Damn, Snap. So this next story is interesting. This is from CNN Health, and this is called sexsomnia. I don't know if you all are familiar with that. This is an embarrassing sleep disorder no one wants to talk about. So maybe you guys have it and don't want to talk about it. We'll see. This is a 38-year-old man repeatedly tries to force his wife to have sex in the middle of the night but has no memory of his actions when he wakes up. A married woman in her mid-20s often tears off her clothing and masturbates but remembers nothing when her partner rouses her.
Damn.
For a dozen years, a 31-year-old man masturbates while asleep, at times injuring his groin. Embarrassed due to his unconscious behavior, he avoids relationships for 8 years. It says there are all clinically documented cases of sleep sex or sexsomnia. Part of a family of sleep disorders called parasomnias that include sleepwalking, sleep talking, sleep eating, and sleep terrors. It says, while it may seem as if people are acting out dreams, many of these instances occur when the brain is not in a dream state, said Dr. Carlos Shenek, a professor at the Medical Council for the University of Minnesota. It says, these are disorders of arousal. And she studied this for decades, says the most often occur during the slowest, deepest stage of sleep called delta sleep. It's like an alarm or trigger that goes off in the central nervous system. And you go from your basement to your roof in no time flat. It said it's difficult to study sexsomnia because unless people injure themselves, many have no idea of their unconscious sexual activity until a bed partner tells them about it. Study in 2010 quizzed 1,000 randomly selected adults in Norway and found that about 7% had experienced sexsomnia at least once during their lives, while nearly 3% were currently living with the condition. Does anybody have suffered from that? That they know
I would
of?
Take shit that happens to Hell white no. people for 100. Shit that happens right. to white people for 100, y'all.
So you don't wake up and be like, damn, I beat my joke. What's going on?
Yeah. And then your shit all fucked up. You fucking leaning over the bed, calling off work.
Goddamn, I didn't even realize it,
man. Embarrassing, no. But that is horrifying to know that you like to touch yourself when you sleep.
You gotta
like,
change your
fuck?
Motherfucking diet. You
got you can also touch your partner. You can also like sexually assault your partner. And
yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's
the scary part about that.
That's what they're saying.
I don't think a man will mind that from.
That just sound like a big mess.
I don't think you mind that. Yeah, but he definitely does.
And you gotta look at it like this. How real is it? Because you got to look at it like this. What if, so they say one of the guys is saying that at nighttime, he just, next thing you know, he's humping his wife and he don't even realize he did it. Well, if that's the case, is that real? Because what if you go on a gas trip and one guy, and no, seriously, no, just listen.
Oh my goodness.
And no, listen.
That perspective though.
You go to a gas trip and you know, sometime when you're young, y'all had to just get one room and maybe one sleep hit one, shit. You know, somebody, it's laying one way, the other person laying the other way. And if you had, what's the difference? If you have a condition, that means you might do that. You might do that to your man or something. Nah. If it's real like that. That's why it's probably bullshit. That's what I'm saying. So
all right. He just had to take it there.
If I ever wake up in the middle of the night, I see Trey or E over the phone,
why the
fuck you
guys
like working
first?
I'm leaving.
No, and I'm gonna put the sheets on you. I'm putting sheets right on your ass. I'm gonna put my sheets right on your motherfucking ass.
So you gotta be careful, man. If somebody got a real problem, what you about to say, Rick?
No, I'm just saying.
He be doing that shit.
No, all I said is if I ever wake up.
I got a prescription for that shit.
Look, if I ever wake up and see y'all in the corner going to work, oh man, it's over.
Hey, the fuck up. Hey, you see what I'm saying?
And look.
That's why I ain't want to stick on this show.
That would be something. I got P. Diddy in there asleep.
What the fuck wrong with Trace, man?
Hey,
get that nigga like 5 more minutes, he'll be all right. Just don't say no to him. Don't say no to him. You say so to him, he goes, I just start jumping on motherfuckers.
Hey, remember we had the show about sleepwalking, right? Don't touch him, man. Just let him go.
Yo, just let him. If you talk to him, if you say something to him, he gonna jump on your motherfucker.
Oh, no.
You gotta let him keep doing what he
does. Hey, no. Hey, bro. That's some scary ass shit, though.
It is,
don't
man.
Be in no fucking room with me, bro. Don't be in no fucking room with me.
Sexsomnia. So I don't know if any of the listeners suffer with that, man, but if you do, just know that they do have a diagnosis for it. Does have a name.
It's
called sexsomnia. Y'all might want to remain anonymous, but just know that y'all not by yourself.
He said that's going to be Diddy's defense.
Sexsomnia.
Oh,
all right. So do y'all know about Club Shay Shay, right?
Yeah.
And so Shannon Sharp, it says that he's under fire for invalidating Amanda Seales' experiences with autism and racism. So Amanda Seales, well, first of all, Shannon Sharp is a former NFL player. Everybody should know that. He now has a podcast. So I don't know if it's a podcast. I don't know what you want to call it. I guess it's like a show, a talk show. It's called Club Shay Shay. Really got big from Cat Williams' interview. Mm. And now a lot of people, he was already having it, but he got a lot of views from there, and it became seem like worldwide overnight success type thing. And he had Amanda Seales on one of the episodes. Now, Amanda Seales, me personally, she irritates me, agitates me, and I don't really care for not I don't know her personally, but just her whole thing. I'm not into it. But she, and I don't know how to describe what she does. She was on what's that show with Lisa
Insecure?
Issa Rae. Yeah, she was on Insecure. So I think she's like a actress slash I know she's like into helping or fighting for black people and stuff, but I don't know exactly her her job titles. But this right here says, in a 3-hour interview on the latest episode of Shannon Sharpe's podcast, Club Shay Shay, the former NFL star interviewed actor and comedian Amanda Seales about everything from her recent autism diagnosis to her rumored feud with Issa Rae. Many have criticized Sharpe since the episode was released, saying that the host seemed to be misunderstood Seales' perspective or misinterpret her comments on several topics she brought up. The conversation grew tense throughout, with Sharpe apologizing to the actor at one point for coming off as combative. Seales is 42, said that she had recently been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder and noted that black women often go undiagnosed because of a lack of research on black women and girls who are on the spectrum. She says she has often felt misunderstood, both by people she knows and by strangers because of her neurodivergence. She says, you get people saying things like, you are difficult, you are mean, you're nasty, and you know you are none of those things, she said. Seales continued to explain her diagnosis and how it manifests for her, whether that's in her need to doodle when she's focused or in her tone of voice, which is often interpreted as harsh. And so basically, she went on Club Shay Shay. While she was on Club Shay Shay, she kind of gave herself a self-diagnosed herself with what she had. And so he was interviewing her. I looked at it. I didn't see nothing wrong with what he did. She is like, to me, in my opinion, she complains about everything. And the only thing he was doing was kind of playing devil's advocate with the stuff she was complaining about. And then all the women said that he didn't know what he was doing. All this bullshit. I don't agree. Danya, from a female perspective, I don't know if you saw any of that, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I saw some of it. And I'm kind of leaning how your perspective is. I think it was a bunch of bullshit. I feel like he was asking the questions that he needed to ask, you know, and try to get a little bit more in depth and detail. And I feel like you talking freely about maybe a disorder, disability that you have, but you haven't been clinically diagnosed. Like, you wasted people's time, and then you're mocking the people who actually have to deal with those things and who have been diagnosed. Like, it is just, it was giving me like, brother, on that situation. Like, nah, she ain't cut the cheese for me. Sorry.
It sounds like she's like giving herself like an easy out for the things that don't go her way.
Absolutely, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
At the same time, you want praise for the things that go right. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't fuck with Amanda Seales. Mm-hmm. Because of her lying on, she lied on this black man who's a fucking brain surgeon. She lied on him, and she said that he was being inappropriate with her. He was thirsty. He was trying to get at her. But all of what she was saying, she went on a Breakfast Club and made this story up about this guy. This guy came back with receipts like, yo, homegirl is straight lying on me, and she's trying to discredit me and ruin my career. It came out that she was actually lying, but what she never came out and she never apologized, because he had text messages that he showed everything. So right. it was some bullshit that she tried to go on this man, and once it was discovered that she was lying, she never apologized to him. So I don't rock with her. I used to like her back when she was younger on MTV. But now, you know, the type of female that she is now, I can't really rock with her.
I mean, and then you got to look at her track record, too, because she got, you know, got fired from, what was it? Was it like the Talk or something like
that?
So
she
got fired from that, and then she got fired from Insecure. So that tells a lot about your persona and your character if this is continuously happening. And I feel like she doesn't take ownership for her actions. She tried to just cover it. Yeah, right. She tried to cover it up with a self-diagnosis. Like, probably went on Google and said, oh, yeah, I got this. You know what I'm saying? So
Van Rob also let me know that she's also on 102.3 as well. So she has her own show on the radio.
Yeah, so, I just don't like her disposition.
Yeah, she just seems like I don't mind people that complain, but what are the solutions? And it just seems like sometimes when you're always the victim, it's hard for me to listen to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when everything is always done to you, sometimes I like to hear what your part
what
was.
What you
in,
did,
something that
right?
Happened,
take some accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so that's the only thing with her. I'm not a fan of her. But I wish her the best still in whatever she, you know, her endeavors, right?
Of course.
Now, I got a question for, I think that we've also, well, no, I'm talking about we have all had different type of coworkers. And so this article right here is by Skid Row. And it says 9 types of difficult coworkers and how to handle them. This says, are you currently dealing with difficult coworkers? You know the kind of fellow colleagues who you're trying to avoid at the kitchen or having a break at the terrace. Sometimes it can take more efforts to deal with them than dealing with bad bosses, especially now when an open office space format becomes popular and disruptive people surround us anywhere and everywhere. Difficult coworkers can rub you the wrong way and force you to act irrationally, which is not exactly a healthy situation and what you want to be in. The good news, though, is that although you can't change everyone else's behavior, you can change your own. To help survive in a tough environment, we'll tell you how to handle difficult coworkers and what is most important and how to knock someone out without hurting them. Okay, I didn't know where that was going. So this is one, and you guys tell me if you have ever known any of these type of coworkers. So the first coworker on here is the nitpick coworker.
Mm-hmm.
Nitpickers are the must at any office workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to act like they're perfect, but later they may cause serious problems.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So we all know the nitpickers. This is what this article says. So this, if y'all listening out there, this might actually help y'all. It says how to deal with nitpicker coworkers. The first thing is you want to make them feel like they know it all, coworkers, even if they aren't. It says keep your own work-life balance, respect them for persistence, detail orientation, but leave the place for time off. It says don't feel guilty about taking care of yourself and show collaboration rather than an individual approach.
Like
this sounds like one of them job training Jones I'd be having. the next one. I'm at work and shit. So this is the part number 2 is jealous coworkers. We've all dealt with jealous coworkers. So how you supposed to deal with a jealous coworker is you're supposed to limit your communication. If it starts to attack you personally, take emotions out and don't take it close. Don't react actively. It only encourages him or her. And if the situation doesn't change, leave or talk to your supervisor. Okay, they want you to snitch.
They want you
snitch. Number 3 is mean coworkers. Mm. I think we've all worked with people who just, you know, got a fucked up attitude, man.
Every day.
Matter of fact, I ain't gonna say it. Rick.
Oh shit.
Hey Rick.
Oh shit.
Hey Rick. Hey Rick. Hey man, it used to be days you was a mean ass co-worker.
Hey, no bullshit. I'm gonna tell you right now. There were days I come in because there'd be something going on in the personal life and that shit just fucks up with my work day.
But you can't take that shit out of other people, though.
You can't take that shit, though.
Nah, you can't. You can't. I know that.
Cussing at people.
I'm going to tell you.
Years ago.
It was years ago. I do remember, though, Reek. I ain't mean to call y'all. I mean, you coming
that shit was like 2 years ago.
Oh, everybody. People scared to talk to Reek in that joint. Damn. All right, so this says how to deal with. This says how to deal with people who are mean coworkers. It says what you have to do with a person like Rika says you have to stay focused on your work and don't contribute to the conversation.
Hey, bro, as soon as I see you, I ain't gonna let this shit ride right now.
Hey, that's why I put
it in. Hold up, Trey. First of all, hold up.
I didn't get mad.
This nigga E would write me, draw me little pictures. Of course I'd be mad. I'm mad as hell.
No, dog. When I get bored, I doodle, dog. I doodle and draw little pictures and shit. They would laugh.
But he was trying to help you. He was trying to help you.
Does it say anything in there about coworkers who doodle?
No, no. I would draw like little like. He's trying to help you, bro.
It's voodoo.
Little figures.
It's voodoo.
I don't know, dog. When I get bored and shit, man.
Hey, you know how the psychiatrist be like showing you pictures and shit like that? He was trying to help you.
That's exactly what it was, man. Hey, look. Every picture, it'd be like a little spider web around the joint. I'd be like, man, what the hell is this shit?
Hey, he was trying to help you.
Hey, he was trying to get you to identify with your trauma.
Hey. That's what it was, man.
That nigga ain't know if he's going to come in there and go post or they going to try to decompress you. He was trying to make you call. Hey man, look at my picture, my dog. Yeah, look at my picture.
You know what I'm saying?
That was smart.
Well, that was back in the day, Rick. So this is just to, you know, if this happens, if somebody else knows a mean coworker, it says simply avoid engaging in any form of competition with them. They say if it goes worse, stay your ground. And then it says, don't be rude. It's difficult. We know, but he or she may use it against you. Now, number four, we got the coworker that love to gossip.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
Spread rumors in the office and all that shit.
Oh, my God, we all know the gossip one.
Just how to deal with gossip coworkers. Create a kind bubble of simply closing your office door or putting your headphones on. Inform the person about the impact of his or her behavior on you with a statement like, I felt really upset by the comment you made to Jane.
Oh, no.
Ain't nobody saying all that shit, man.
I just changed the conversation, bro.
It says avoid sharing personal details if you don't want to become a star of the office rumors. And then the last one for that is if everything above doesn't work, it says stay straight. It says say straight that you're not a fan of workplace gossip. So basically saying, hey, tell a person when they gossip to you, hey, I know you might like to talk a lot and all that shit, but I'm not into that.
Oh, that was me plenty of days. I used to tell people like, hey, look, I ain't with all of that gossiping and shit like that, because if you tell me any information, I'm going to the other person and I'm going to tell the other person your grievances. Shit. So you might have to work it out with them. Don't bring it to me.
Now, we all have had annoying coworkers. I had a lot of them. So, for sure.
That's forever, man.
So this is how to deal with the annoying coworkers. Know your role and state your priorities. Set the boundaries. Be specific and confident in explaining your point of view. I said it doesn't help. Be straight and don't be afraid telling them the truth directly. Number six is disrespectful coworkers. I ain't dealing with no disrespect, but
that's me. That was me, 21 to 26. That was me.
Okay, so at least you know. So you were the disrespectful coworker.
I was disrespectful as fuck. Only because I didn't change my tone. So when I said something, it was at one tone, which I don't change my tone now most times.
No, you don't.
No.
So it always sounds disrespectful.
Yeah, I got you. So it says how to deal with disrespectful coworkers. Set the tone and be direct. Ask the person to change the approach. Be clear about appropriate behavior. Don't take his or her words seriously.
Yeah, man.
So, who do I know? I'm trying to think. Disrespect.
Hostile coworker.
That's me all the way.
Shit. You was a hostile one too?
Oh, no, I wasn't hostile. Okay. No, the disrespectful thing, that's me all the way. And it's hard. Like, the best thing to do with me, just period, is don't take me seriously, because half the time it's a misunderstanding.
That's a real big thing for you to say.
Yeah, half the time it's a misunderstanding, because I'm not going to change my tone, and I really don't care what anybody think. I rarely change my tone.
You shouldn't have to.
Just give them a hug when you see
them. You shouldn't have to. I mean, if somebody that's sensitive, where they can't take what it is that somebody is giving them, then maybe they just need to not operate around people.
And this is the hostile coworker.
That's Reek.
So the how to deal with the hostile coworker is that you have to try to be introspective, be distinct in making a request, use non-negotiable statements instead of a polite question. It says try to bring a peace offer. If nothing works, ignore the person or go to HR.
Why did they tell you to snitch, man?
Them HR people be just as worse. I supervise a lot of people. I walked into a meeting where the HR person is playing a goddamn hotline message to the person that the other person was calling the hotline for.
So they
were literally playing the fucking message that somebody was trying to discreetly report. They were playing it to the person that it was being reported on. So all that HR shit, it depends on what HR is where you work.
Exactly.
That made the work environment more toxic. More toxic.
So number eight is passive aggressive coworkers.
If you have
a coworker that's passive aggressive, it says confront problems with them out in the open. Use tact and good timing for conversations. Choose direct communication. Express interest in their true feelings. Try to create a safe place for them to feel validated. And the last one is complaining coworkers.
Wow.
I'm one of them. And how to deal with them. Create a kind of bubble to protect his or her threats. Yeah. Stop the conversation fast and straight. If you disagree with this person, say it without smoothing things over. So that was a great article for anybody. And we've all dealt with one of these type of coworkers. I'm sure we are some of these type of coworkers, right? Just people, period. And different day can bring different things when you're working.
True.
But now what we get ready to get into is we're going to talk about not the elephant in the room, but this is what still is a big topic, big conversation. And that's this Kendrick Lamar and Drake rap beef, right? And so what I want to do is, for the listeners, I'm going to just take you guys through a quick timeline. Of this beef. This is just up to date because I think shots were sent from Kendrick and Drake years ago, but I'm just bringing it up to the present at hand. Yeah. So the timeline is this: Kendrick Lamar. This is 3:22. Kendrick Lamar releases Like That. Now, Like That is the song with Metro Boomin and Future, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And in that song, Kendrick Lamar had basically talked about the song that Drake and J. Cole made, saying that they dropped the song, I can't think of the name of it, and they were saying that they were the number one guys. Kendrick Lamar on the song Like That let them know that y'all and that, I'm the dude. J. Cole then got pressured and, you know, peer pressure, and everybody saying, oh, Kendrick going at y'all, you got to say something. So then on 4-5, J. Cole releases 7-Minute Drill. And then that he's throwing light jabs at Kendrick on purpose because I think he didn't really want to go hard. 2 days later on 4-7, J. Cole apologized to Kendrick and said, man, you know what? I did that basically from peer pressure. I don't want this on my mind and my brain. I'm bowing out. I'm cool on that shit. You know what I mean? So after that, 4-13, Drake releases leaks this song called Push Ups. This is coming at Kendrick Lamar.
And others.
Oh, yeah, and others. On 4:19, Drake follows up with TMF. Was that the one with the...
With the AI. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that song had the AI, Tupac, and Snoop, but it was like Drake rapping in the same cadence. So it sounded like him with just a different voice. And then, all this while, as you all see, this is a lot of time, at least in this era of battle rap. So people were really waiting on Kendrick Lamar to drop something. It got to the point where some people felt like he wasn't even going to respond. But on 4:30, Kendrick Lamar does respond. And Kendrick Lamar releases Euphoria. Euphoria is a song that started off as this laid back song, and then it switched about two times. It was a 6 minute song, I believe, something like that. And then on 5-3, Kendrick releases back to backs with 6-16 in LA. And then Drake releases Family Matters on 5-3. And then Drake drops Buried Alive parody on IG, which is not a song, but I guess it's just some, you know, some shit to troll. And then 5-3, we're still on 5-3, Kendrick drops Meet the Grams, which I think that was dope. And then 5-4, Kendrick drops Not Like Us. And then the last disc record, I can't remember what date it was or what
Sunday. It was Sunday.
Okay, it was mm-hmm. Sunday, and the name of that song was
The Heart Six.
The Heart Six. So, you know, due to copyright and just for time purposes, we don't have all of, you know, snippets from all the diss songs, but we do have one from Drake's last diss song, right? And I'm going to just play a little bit from that one.
Just for clarity, I feel disgusted. I'm too respected. If I was fucking young girls, I promise I'd have been arrested. I'm way too famous for the shit you just suggested, but that's not the lesson. Clearly, there's a deeper message. Deep cuts that never healed and how they got infected. Like if Dave really fucked your girl and got her pregnant. Talk about breeding resentment. Not sure how to ease the sentiment. The shit's too intimate. I'm praying you recover from both incidents. But you a piece of shit, so this shit really no coincidence.
Drake was gone. He was gone on that one, T.
Yeah, he in his feelings.
You mentioned an A minor, but niggas gotta be sharp and tell the fans who was it. You thought you left D flat, D major. I'll slit your throat with the razor and do Rick Ross hair like that one flight from Malaysia. I'm your baby mama screensaver. Only fucking with Whitney's, not Millie Bobby.
He was going in.
That nigga
was going, T.
He was going in. Now I'm going to play.
T don't like that. T don't like that.
So the song, what was K-Dot joint called the latest one that he dropped?
Not Like Us.
Not Like Us. Now this one, I love this song, and this was the Kendrick's last. Even though I got him out of order because Kendrick dropped this first and then Drake, I'm gonna play a little bit from this one.
Out and show niggas certified boogeyman. I'm the one that up to score with him. Walk him down whole time. I know he got some hoe in him. Pull on him, extort shit, bully the flow on him. Hey Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any bitch that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. You want to get your hemi downs and party at the party playing with his
say my part coming up.
Barker got a weird case. Why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. I'ma do my stuff.
Why hey, that's your ghost, man. Hey, that shit goes.
Hey, this shit.
So yeah. Now, damn. What? This what I'm gonna do first. So we gonna get into all of that. The first thing that I wanted to do is just talk about really quick how before this started, a lot of people were saying it doesn't matter about the battle. They can say anything they want to about each other because these guys are not gonna beef. This is not gonna spill over into anything but rap. That's what most people were saying. So what that made me do was, I'm like, okay. It made me look up some of the biggest hip-hop feuds, and I'm going to just name a few, and you guys tell me if you know if any violence came between these beefs. The first one is Tupac versus Big. We all know there was violence involved, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right? Yeah. So now we're going to go Nas versus Jay-Z. Was any violence involved that y'all know of in that?
There was potential.
There was definitely potential.
Okay. Like, I know Nas went up in the studio looking for Jay.
He did.
After he dropped Takeover.
Okay.
But Jay wasn't there.
Okay. So now we got 50 Cent, Ja Rule. Was there violence that took place with
that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Drake versus Meek Mill. Was there any violence in that one?
No.
No.
Okay. NWA versus Ice Cube. Was there violence?
Yes. There was a fight. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 50 Cent versus The Game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
Cardi B versus Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
It definitely was.
No, it was Trey. Cardi B got hit upside her head, had a knot on her head, Snow.
Was that the same night when Cardi was trying to get at it and the security was surrounding?
Yeah. Oh, yep.
Yeah. That night, same night. Yeah.
Okay. Lil Wayne versus Birdman.
Yes. There was an attempt. There was a shooting. They shot the bus up, right?
Exactly.
Oh.
Now this says The Rock's Lil Wayne's tour bus got shot.
Oh, okay.
So the Roxanne Wars, this is old. This is that UTFO, Roxanne, when she was battling.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. What about the bridge? KRS-One, yeah. Was there any violence in that one? Okay.
Yeah, no. MC Shan's budding rap career. It was over.
AT, that's fucked up.
And you want to know what? It was about to be some real drama that didn't happen when Fife and Tribe Called Quest, when he dissed Rest in Effect, they rolled up on him and they jumped out the car with a whole bunch of guns. And they obviously they didn't do it, but that could have went crazy. I'm just saying, if we're getting real nerdy with rap beefs, but go ahead, E.
Okay,
go
so ahead, Eminem versus The Source, was there any violence in that?
Yeah, I think Benzino tried to do something.
He did. Mm-hmm. All right, Little Kim versus Foxy Brown.
Yeah,
yes. Somebody got
shot.
Somebody got killed.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody got killed. With Nori. Yes. When Noriega was right there, and somebody got killed right outside the radio station.
Mm-hmm. All right,
because
so,
when they made one of the best diss track, one of the best tracks of all time, "Bang Bang," with fucking Capone, Noriega, and Foxy, mm-hmm. when they went to the studio, that's one of my favorite songs.
Some Gucci Mane versus Jeezy.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm saying that. So there's other even do y'all remember this when Big Boy going versus Killer Mike?
Yep.
What? Why would that?
Now I don't know if it was violence. Yeah, you know they close like cousins, but for some reason they fell out and Big Boy was just like threatening.
Oh shit! Hey, I hear about that.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's more battles, and I'm not gonna name all of them. I was trying to make a point.
Right.
And my point that I was making is, you can't underestimate rap beefs. I love beefs.
Right.
In terms of the wordplay, but it almost always ends up, and it's not really the person, but it's a person from the entourage. Mm-hmm. So when people were saying that this would never end up in anything like that, I just don't think that's true. That's just what I wanted to say about that.
Well, this one
got shot.
This one I thought had the potential, but I didn't think they would take it there until like once Drake mentioned the wife, I was like, all right, there's potential.
Mm. Yeah.
So do y'all think that the bodyguard getting shot is...
That had nothing to do with Kendrick. That had nothing to do with Kendrick. That's the Weeknd and Drake beef.
For real?
That's the Weeknd and Drake beef. Weeknd's bodyguard or man's got shot like a week earlier in a drive-by at the house. Same thing. That's a Toronto beef. That has nothing to do with Kendrick.
Right. Weekend. Okay, Weekend.
So are we asking, do Drake got the capability to...
It's not necessarily Drake. It's the people that's with them. It don't always be the artists themselves. You guys, sometimes you can have a fan that just want to create... Yeah, the world crazy. Is so
oh,
crazy.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Definitely.
It's just, I don't know,
that's
man.
That's the scary part.
And so to speak to what T was talking about... this is from The Guardian. Drake's security guard seriously injured in a shooting in Toronto. The security guard at the mansion of the Canadian hip-hop artist Drake has been seriously injured in a shooting outside of the musician's Toronto home. The victim, an adult male, was rushed to a Toronto hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries following the shooting early Tuesday morning. And when that happened, you know, I'm looking on social media. You know how social media is. Everybody saying it was Kendrick, all that dumb shit. But like T3 said, I don't think that had anything to do with anything. It's just something that happened. Now, to get back to the rap.
Let me name my source. I'm not tapped in. I don't know for sure. But it was implied by DJ Academics, who's a Drake supporter. He did not say flat out Weekend's people, Weekend's crew. He implied it. Read between the lines. He got into some trouble when he first popped off with the Chirac reporting on everything going on in Chicago with the music and the gang violence. Mm-hmm. So he did not want to go into detail because he didn't want to make that same mistake. But he implied it was he said flat out, this isn't from Kendrick, from what he found out. Okay. He applied that it is connected to the shooting that was with the Weeknd's people.
But is Academic credible though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's credible. You, regardless of what the older folks think, he's credible.
So let me ask y'all this. With the beef, and I just brought up the hip-hop stuff just to try to make a point, but in terms of this hip-hop beef, I want to ask, I'm going to ask Reek first. First, I want to ask you, who do you think won and where does this rank for you in hip-hop battles?
I think Kendrick won, definitely. And as far as rap battles, this will definitely rank in the top three just because of the amount of music that came out of it
in a short amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, I mean, once you got closer to the end, it was constant, like almost every day. And it had you looking, oh, is Drake going to drop? Is Kendrick going to drop? So yeah, this is definitely in top three for me.
Trey, what you feel about it?
What's the question? Where does it rank?
Yeah, your
Why you sound like
headphones sound like a robot.
You sound like a robot.
Hold up.
God dang, it's always this dude, Trey, man.
I'm good.
Yeah, you good. Yeah,
man.
So the question was, who do you think won the battle, and then where would you rank the battle?
I think it was a tie. The reason why I'm saying that is because the shit was dope. Like, the shit produced some really dope ass music. Like I love both of them, to be honest with you, right? I think Drake is a whole fucking vibe. I think Kendrick is dope as well. Where would I rank it? I would definitely say top four, top three. You know what I'm saying? If I had to really, really rank it, but the music, but the quality and the anticipation of it, the anticipation, like nobody dropped something that was whack. You feel what I'm saying?
And
I like that because Drake, I told T 10 years ago, I was like, yo, Drake is dope. T put me on to Drake, right? But I'm like, yo, he's dope.
But you're on the booth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Because I was hating on Kendrick, but to Pimp a Butterfly is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Mine too.
Both artists are amazing artists, and they went at each other on a very, very high level in real time. So I'm gonna give it a tie. I was leaning towards Drake for a second, bro. But Kendrick, bro. But when I listened to everything in chronological order yesterday, I was like, oh, I think Kendrick might have edged them. But I fuck with Drake. I fuck with the Heart Part 6 joint. Drake was going. Drake was going, bro. So I'm gonna give it a tie, man. Fuck that. I'm gonna give it a tie.
Don, what do you feel?
Who you think won? I gotta go with Kendrick. I feel
come
like,
on, man, Donnie, you ain't listening.
No,
to
I'm just saying because when I'm listening to the music, I'm listening to not just the instrumental, I'm listening to the lyrics as well. You know what I'm saying? And I Kendrick feel like in most of the, if not all of the songs, Kendrick straight body. Now Drake got good punchlines, but Kendrick is bringing that heat. So I gotta go with Kendrick, and y'all right, like it's top three-ish for the beefs. You know what I'm saying? And then it's bringing in a lot of traction for rap right now as well.
Yeah, you're right. Lyricism.
The lyricism has been awesome on both parts, but I just feel like Kendrick does it better.
Okay, I got you. And then all right, and T Streets.
Okay, where this ranks for me, this is going to be surprising. It ranks number one.
Oh my
and
God.
The reason why it ranks number one is because I was up Friday night when what's that song? Family Matters dropped.
That shit is dope.
I was up Friday night when Family Matters dropped. I wanted to text our group chat. I was like, these niggas asleep.
You should have said
that. I was like, these niggas asleep. So let me hit Weeknd at Juniors. Hit Weeknd at Juniors. We talking about it. I'm like, oh, wait.
That motherfucker will never go.
Kendrick just dropped. And I'm telling you, when I heard the piano chord and what's Drake's son name?
Adonis.
Adonis. Dear, when I heard Dear Adonis, it changed everything. Drake was up. Like, that song, fire. Mm. The only thing I didn't like about it, which I think Drake misstepped this whole battle, is that stop rapping at other people when you got a killer in front of you. Just focus on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that, he didn't let Drake's momentum. If he waited a day, we have a whole different conversation on who's up right now.
Because Family Matters, T, when he switched the beat three times and the video with the van, that shit was hard.
But when that the Grams came out, that shit just, it changes your mood. It changed your mood. It was dark.
Because it was gloomy. And he meant that shit. So it's like, man, these two dudes, they were bringing out like the best, right? Even though they were getting very personal. Mm-hmm. They were bringing them, these niggas was going. They were going.
I listened to each song. And I would say before Kendrick had dropped the Meet the Grams, or I had it like a tie, really. Because at first I wasn't feeling Drake's songs, but when I really listened and zoned to everything he was saying and how it was put together, I was like, nah, man, he's going in. Hey, the same with Kendrick. So it's not the way the internet is kind of saying, like, it seems like the consensus is that Kendrick has crushed him. And I do believe Kendrick edged him out. I really do. But he did not crush Drake. You know what I'm saying? The reason why I don't think Drake can come back, and this is my reason, is because of They Not Like Us. When I'm looking at They Like Not Us, I'm seeing I'm being on TikTok. The whole West Coast has embraced that song. And it's they doing dances.
The way that song hit,
I'm gonna be real with you. It was like the finishing. It was like the killer song because it was a victory lap.
Yeah.
It's a victory lap. Yeah, exactly. It's a hit record. Everybody like it. They dancing to it. I mean, it's just crazy. And to me, it doesn't matter what Drake puts out, however dope it is. It doesn't matter because Drake's first diss against him was his like banger type song, or was the one that would be in the club.
Yeah.
So Drake already released that type of song. So it's just, what can you do? You can do another. He just did a serious song. So what you gonna go with? I mean, I think it's over. Regardless of whatever song Kendrick put out again, whatever song Drake put out again, I say that Kendrick edged the battle, in my opinion. That's what I say.
Exactly.
I have a question.
Do y'all think he'll come back? Do y'all think?
No, Drake's coming back. He would have dropped Monday if it wasn't for the shooting.
Good.
Okay.
If it wasn't for the shooting, Drake was coming back. Like, I'm getting this from DJ Academics implied that one of them is dropping again. And then Maul from the Rory and Maul podcast, I should have made a clip for that. He's going crazy in his defense of Drake, but he says Drake's coming back. So I think Drake is rapping again. I don't think Drake likes the perception that everybody feel he lost.
Well, what was your question, T Street?
My question is, if Drake comes back with proof of Kendrick being a wife beater, do you change your perception on the battle or just the person?
No,
not at all. I don't just even. I don't even change my perception on the wife beater thing because the music is the music, and it doesn't change the perception of him to me because I'm not in his personal life. Right. I don't know about the details of what happened and anything like that. I'm not condoning a man hitting a woman or anything like that, but I don't know him. I would have to know him personally for the effect. Me in that way, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, and then it had to be detailed. Like, what does that mean? Did he push her? Did he shove her? I mean, what's beating a person? Did he beat her down and slam her head in the ground? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we talking about? It's levels to everything.
It seems like you trying to be messy with you trying to say something like that to try to discredit.
But they both was doing
that
though.
Yeah, but
right.
Trey, messy though. Trey, this is the thing. This is why the psychology of this whole battle. This is what I love in rap. I love the connection, how Kendrick's songs came together. I think Kendrick watched them. It was like embarrassing. Even though I had it close until like 2 days ago, It's just they not like us. The more you listen to it, the better it sounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I listened to it yesterday picking my kids up from school. I actually really loved the song.
Kendrick told him, really, if you take it there, I'm taking it further.
Yeah.
Don't talk about my family. You take it there, I'm taking it further. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
So that's the dope part about rap beefs, period. So even if I got a dog in the fight, I still love listening. Why you think I don't like Jim Jones? Because we dissed Nas 20 years ago. That's why I don't like Jim Jones. Even though it's like that, that's how personal I take it. But I still like somebody
Nas had to come up,
talk shit.
Oh, hey, guess what? Hey, no. Trey, Nas is connected to this battle. Nas is connected because all right, Drake was trolling Kendrick's manager. He had like the OVO bag. Ant is Nas' manager and Future's manager. Yeah. So Nas is part of this battle. The winner, the victor, is Nas.
It's Nas. That's what I'm saying. But honestly, like, I love all this shit. As long as the music is dope, I love all of this shit. I listened to everything in chronological order yesterday. I was like, this shit is good. And I literally was feeling like, I was like, man, I think this motherfucker Kendrick got him a little bit. But I fuck with Family Matters. I love the Hot Part 6. I love when Drake get into that emo beat bag. I love all that shit. I think if
Drake would come with like a hardcore fire beat, bro, it could kind of like change the trajectory a little bit.
Drake's still in there. That's my man, bro.
You know what hurts Drake? This is what hurts Drake. What hurts Drake is, okay, let's assume both sides are lying or assume both sides are telling the truth.
Uh-huh.
Kendrick's stuff has video proof of some cringy things out there about Drake that connects to the
young girls.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah,
I watched that shit. That's what made me give Kendrick the edge.
Okay, y'all.
I watched that yesterday.
Now hold up, I didn't get a chance to load that clip, but this is my question. When I listened to it, are y'all talking about when they said that he kissed a 17-year-old girl?
It's more than just that.
It's
a lot more than that.
It was some weirdo shit, E.
But how do we know it's
pedophiles?
Because it is. It's all videotape. It's all
video,
social media.
It's video. It's text messages.
These girls
it's
say
a
it
lot
out
of
their
text
mouth.
Messages. And the girls say it.
Yeah.
They didn't say he had sex. It's not that.
They didn't say that, but
they said from teenage, when they 13, 14, 15, 16, they had this relationship with Drake.
That's
what's the Millie Bobby, whatever girl?
She said that.
And even though if it wasn't sex, just the allegations and the text messages, like, bro, if my daughter is 15, 16, what the fuck are you doing texting her? She's 30. You're 30. She's 15, right? One of the girls turned 18. He was like, what do you say, T? I've been waiting
for you.
Motherfucker, everybody can read your fucking text, dummy.
That's nasty.
What are you doing?
So tell me this.
What are you doing?
Did Kendrick take it too far by even going there in the rap battle?
No.
I think that Kendrick needed to go there. I think he needed to go there because the way Drake was going, because I think Drake was touching him up. Where he had to be like, he had to bring out, he had
Drake
to go
never,
there.
You want to know why Drake never touched Kendrick up?
Drake was touching the nigga up.
I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Both tried to frame the battle early. In the AI freestyle, with the Pac voice, when Drake is taunting, he says, in the Pac voice, he says something to the effect, telling me play with little girls or something like that. That's a gift from me to you to say, hey, talk about this. He's trying to get ahead of it because he know it's coming, right?
Yeah.
You know it's coming. He's trying to control the narrative.
Yeah.
Kendrick, in his first one in Euphoria, he says, I can predict your angles. I can predict your angles. And he says that something about being on the family front, you misquoted Mr. Morale. If I had the lyrics, I would say it verbatim. Mm-hmm. But basically, he's saying that I know what you're about to say, and it's all lies. Who won the battle of of just framing this battle. Kendrick did, because Kendrick. Every time Kendrick stayed on offense every time he rapped.
Yeah.
He didn't reply to the white beat and stuff because he felt like he already addressed it.
Yeah.
Drake,
I get that.
Drake had to reply to everything. He was on defense this whole time.
When did he address it? Which joint did he address it in?
He addressed it from the beginning when he said that, I know what you're about to do. You're about to lie about my family. So please leave families out of it. That's basically what he said. Listen, I should have been prepared with the lyrics so I can read it all.
No. I'm gonna listen to it anyway.
Listen to Euphoria. That first, the slow part of Euphoria. Just listen
Euphoria was dope. Euphoria
listen to that dope. First, the
yeah,
first
I like
beat.
Euphoria.
I ain't like the Euphoria first beat. At first because I listened to it when I was it was too late and I was drunk. Well, I listened to it like 3 days later. That shit was hard.
When you go back, see, and another thing, good thing about this battle is
you really have to go through and listen
to the lyrics and the songs from both.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot that you'll miss. Yeah. It's a lot. I mean, they both to me, what it show is the caliber of artists they are.
Yeah.
They are really they are really meant to be who they are, because these are really top dogs in this music shit.
Yeah, because they put on the clinic, both.
Yes, they did, man. They did. And I can't take nothing away from that. Straight professional, it shows it's levels to rap.
It's levels.
Yeah, and they're not where they are by luck. You understand what I'm saying? They really are skillful, real good artists. So with that said, do we have an Ask the Rec Room?
No.
I wasn't expecting...
No, because I was rushing to get home. I ain't had nothing prepared. I ain't want to pay no fines.
Donnie, only $50 this time. Only $50.
$50.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. You only got to pay $50.
See, I had it last week, but 50. I don't got the
Give you a verbal. Next y'all, you get written up. You gonna get written up next y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Since we don't have a Ask the Rec Room. I have a question pertaining to
the battle.
We know when Drake mentioned Metro Boomin set your dumb ass up and make some drums, nigga.
Yes.
What y'all think about him going back and making some drums in the beat?
Hey, bro.
DBL Drizzy Thomas.
That shit. No, that shit classic. And you want me to tell you something else? So look, when I was doing the when I was trying to look for the song for the pod, right? I was going to use that. So, but when I search it, the Metro Boomin version doesn't come up. But you know what? What does come up?
All the rappers.
About 50 motherfuckers rapping on it, dog. And before that, I hadn't even heard nobody rap on it. But when I put the name in BBL Drizzy, more than I could count of people have rapped on that shit.
Yes.
That was genius. Yes. That was genius by Metro Boomin. He didn't have to say nothing. And another thing, let me tell you what's genius about that. He made that song sound like it came out in the 70s. He made it seem like that sounds like a sample from back in the day. He made something current sound like a sample.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
Mm-hmm.
That shit sound like a sample, dog. That was that. Yeah. Damn, hey, all these dudes heavy hitters, man. They heavy hitters,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, bro. Hey, before we go, are you ready? This is my Ask the Rec Room for E, y'all. Everybody got to buckle up. E, are you ready? Are you ready for Mother's Day?
Oh, fuck.
Hey!
No, I don't
forgot
know
again.
You just blew me about this.
Are you ready?
No, let me tell you. No, let me go on my little. I got a little hat, man. So let me tell y'all something, man. These man-made holidays, I'm tired of.
You know what I'm saying? White man holidays.
I'm tired of them, bro.
First
I got
Valentine's Day. Now this Mother's
no,
it Day.
It is. It's Mother's Day. Now, my wife's birthday is, so Mother's Day's coming. My wife's birthday is the next week, along with my son's the next day. Okay. Then, you know, I want to go on vacation. I don't have the money to do all this shit, man. And so what I'm saying is Mother's Day.
It's just called a simple acknowledgement. That's
it is, but what I'm going to do, and this is what it is, for this Mother's Day, everybody's getting a card and a balloon or something like that.
We're
I don't have, I can't do the, take all the mothers out, then get my wife shit for her birthday, then get my son shit for his birthday, then go on vacation. I'm tired of the holidays. I'm tired of that shit.
And hopefully I'm skipping.
He sound mad as shit.
No,
hopefully I'm speaking for all mothers, okay? I know, like, when Mother's Day come around, we just want to be relinquished from our duties just for that day. If you could cook, if you could clean, if you could man after the kids, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just let us have a day of relaxation where we don't have to worry about anything. That's all that matters. The mm-hmm. gift thing isn't a thing. You don't have to buy a gift. It's just really having to acknowledge us being moms, the contributions we make, and that's it. Showing us that appreciation.
You don't know, mama. You don't know, mom. You don't know my mama, Slim.
Oh, she wants something.
No. So look, this is what I feel. I feel all women say what you just said, and that sounded beautiful when you just said that. But what I really believe is that even though women say that deep down, y'all would like to be taken out or something like that. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
No. Yep. I mean, I don't. My thing, I think me, all Mother's Day, the only thing that I've ever asked for is for me to get some rest. That's it. If you want to make me breakfast, my kids, they make me breakfast in bed. You know what I'm saying? Which is a good thing now that they're at the age that they can cook. Mm-hmm. But just give me rest. I want to come and see my house spotless, you know what I'm saying? Like, those things matter more than a gift to me.
Okay. I got you. Okay.
Something that I've been.
How
doing
do y'all feel year. About it, y'all? I mean, see, I don't leave me out here to dry.
Hey, look, you in a unique situation though, bro. Cause like you said, you got Mother's Day, you got mm-hmm. your wife's birthday, mm-hmm. you got your son's birthday.
Yeah.
It's a racket stuff going on.
He giving you an out. He giving you an out.
No,
don't hear that fucking shit.
It's for real. There's a lot of shit going on, man.
It is, bro. And a lot of money. And these holidays, they are set to help boost somebody else's pockets,
sales,
man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They boost somebody else's pockets. I mean,
birthday. I feel like birthdays, Christmas. Okay, yeah, all right, cool. But like things like, you know, Mother's Day, like you could take a chill on that.
That's all, man. Now, I just said my piece. What are y'all doing for y'all mothers this Mother's Day?
I'm sending my mother to King Spa.
Okay.
And I'm gonna take her out to eat, and she's okay. gonna go sit there down somewhere.
All right, Reek, what you gonna do?
Basically, what you said, what you gonna do for your mother? I'm gonna do for my, for the wife and the family. I got something planned for them. So
okay, so mama get the shortest stick. Okay, hey, so T Streets, what you gonna do, T Streets?
I got something. I forgot what I bought.
Oh, okay.
Oh damn, T. Damn.
I bought something. I don't know what it is. I gotta look at it.
And Trey, what you doing?
I'm gonna send it to the spa. I'm gonna send it to the spa.
That's right. You just said that, my bad.
Yeah, spa, and I'm gonna I'd eat.
Okay, so that's for your mom, but what are you gonna do? Do you do anything for your wife?
So she's gonna go out with her mom and my mom.
Okay, so I'll say so you got it. You got it sweet.
Yeah,
you ain't
got to
do nothing.
Super
okay.
sweet, bro.
Now that's what I used to do. I super used to celebrate all the moms together. My wife, my mom, my wife's mom. And my mom, and it just be three people, and I just get it out the way. But what I've learned now is maybe that'll be next year. But this year is going to be just some cards and some acknowledgments. Don, you say that all she needs. So I'm gonna
hang out with my mommy, and we gonna have a whole lot of wine. We gonna do some karaoke.
We
gonna have it up, you know. Good, and they gonna spoil us.
I like that. I like that. Hey, so listen, this is what we got going on tonight, right? Who we got in here? We got Dope. Dope finally came back. Dope was beefing.
It's been a minute.
I don't know. Dope
been
beefing.
A minute. Probably. I ain't seen that name in a minute. What's up, Dope?
She can't stay away from us. We got new wind in the studio. We got some new people in here. We got RSK. We got That's Interesting podcast in here with us every week.
Interesting.
We got Van Rob. Van Rob came straight to the NAACP meet, bro. Jumped right in the chat. Nah, she really did. She really did. That's a funny part.
Nah, it be how you be saying it.
Nah, yeah. I'm just talented. We got Coco Melon in here tonight. Hey. We got Shed. We got Shed Bear. We got DJ in here with us, Eve. We got
our man DJ
in here.
I seen when he checked in.
DJ said, "What's the best rap battle?" I said, Nas and Jay, Playboy.
That was.
We got oh God. We got Shed Bear in here. I already said that already. We got Maya, a brand new person to the show. We got Maya in here. And that's what we got for tonight, baby.
Well, that's what's up, man. The pod can be listened to on any of your streaming platforms, from Amazon to Google Pod, etc., etc. Follow us on Instagram at The Rec Room Pod. Once you follow us on Instagram, the link is in the bio that will lead you to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for the first-time listeners to let you know we have on-camera pods along with the pods that we do on Podbean. On Podbean, we pod every Thursday at 8 p.m. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the pod if you like what you hear. And as I always say, everybody has a pod, but everybody is in us. Till the next time.
Peace.